Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Business Solutions Radio, powered by John Deiter Solutions, LLC. Business Solutions Radio is all about connecting you with business owners and executive leaders who have valuable insight and proven solutions to the many things that keep business owners up at night. I'm Phoenix Business Radio X President Karen Nowicki, here with your Business Solutions host and sponsor, EOS implementer, John Deiter. Welcome.
Thanks, Karen.
Welcome back, I should say.
Welcome back. I sure had a good time the first time. So
enough so that you're trusting us to start this show and bring some additional friends on to talk about business and all the solutions for business owners.
Absolutely. And just a little bit of background on me and why I'm even doing this is, you know, my company, John Deiter Solutions, focuses on implementing the entrepreneurial operating system, which is called EOS, with owners and their leadership teams. And it's a complete management system, simple tools, practical tools, proven tools that helps them get a grip on their business and get in the same page with their vision, get traction, executing really well, and getting a healthy, cohesive, high-performing team. So EOS can be an excellent solution for a lot of businesses, but not every business. It's not a fit for everyone. So the purpose of this Business Solutions Radio show is to highlight other services and the people that deliver them who face, and really to help the business owners that face that long list of challenges and opportunities. So I'm really happy to be doing this. My passion is helping business owners. And one way I'm feeding that passion is sponsoring this show and introducing guests like I have today. I'm really happy to have them. I totally enjoyed being a guest with Joe Puz and the PMO squad about a month or so ago. Couldn't pass on the idea of giving this opportunity to others. So thanks to Joe and to you, Karen, for starting me down this path. Maybe a little out of my comfort zone, but having a great time doing it.
You wouldn't know it. You're doing great.
Thanks. And to introduce my two guests, I've been fortunate to be colleagues with both of them. I truly admire what they do and what they've done. I just love these guys. I'll start with Jennifer Burwell with Mac 6. She began her career in small business as an interior design project manager and designing and remodel new construction, million-dollar homes and commercial spaces, left to focus on a higher purpose of helping others and elevating humanity, becoming the campaign director for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, managed a team of nonprofit professionals and hundreds of volunteers in Arizona and Utah, annual budgets of $1.5 million. She has a background in operations, sales, marketing, and organizational development, and joined Mac 6 about 4 years ago, mm-hmm. 2013. So she uses all that experience to kind of oversee all of the operations of Mac 6, make sure they're focused on the vision, and become a student of behavior, human behavior, and is a certified professional behavioral analyst. And she loves working with people and teams to share that knowledge and help people become high-performing teams and culture-based programs that Mac 6 offers. Welcome, Jennifer.
Thanks. Happy to be here.
Great to have you.
You didn't have to travel far, did you?
No, it was right down the street.
Right down the street. That's right. And I actually have an office in their co-op workspace at Mac 6. So, and then Tom Azzarelli, he's a partner with B2B CFO. He has extensive experience, 35, I'm guessing maybe a little more than that experience in the financial area, primarily with private companies, providing strategic advice on critical business decisions, really across a broad range of disciplines and different companies. His expertise includes maximizing cash flow, bank and lending relationships, budgeting and cost control, risk management, also worked with startups and turnarounds, reorganization programs, and is a coach and mentor to not just accounting departments, but the CEOs and owners of those businesses. Interestingly enough, when I joined B2B CFO a number of years ago, I was a partner for about 3 years, and Tom was my coach when I joined the firm.
Ah.
And I owe a lot of where I'm at today, honestly, to his mentoring and help. So happy to have you here today, Tom.
Well, thank you, John. It's really exciting to be here. And this is a great opportunity to share our experiences and how we help business owners succeed. So I'm really looking forward to this hour.
Yep,
me too. You know, so many business owners feel like they're alone. they have this idea to open up a business. They find the funding. They get started and they're off to the races, hire the team, find a few clients. But then, as we said at the top of the show, they lay awake at night not knowing how to pull it all together. So really the vision that you have for this show, John, is really important to help other business owners see and utilize the experience and the insight that you have and the way that the three of you have been successful in your businesses.
Interestingly enough, Tom's background, he moved to Arizona in 2009.
Correct.
Were you with B2B CFO there?
I started B2B CFO in New Jersey. Okay. Back in May of 2009, and quickly got excited about coming to Arizona.
We moved to Arizona. We can understand that, right?
And restarted my business here in Arizona, and it's been absolutely great. I love Arizona. The people are wonderful.
Talk about starting from scratch. You didn't have any clients when you came out here, right?
Exactly.
How was that?
I knew one person.
Wow.
today I know, you know, several hundreds and even thousands of people through networking, and it's been wonderful. And
did the B2B CFO name, it's, I know it's in multiple states, right? 40?
Yes, Karen. We have over 220 partners in 46 states, and our partners have a combined experience of 7,000 years. So what that means as a result, there's not much we can't answer if there are questions by our clients. So it's quite the firm. It's 30 years old. It was founded by Jerry Mills. He's the founder and CEO today. He's a brilliant man, and he's got a great vision for the firm, and we've been growing every year.
Fantastic. So when you decide to come to Arizona, the name preceded you. I mean, you at least you had that baggage in a healthy, healthy way. Those wings, I should say, instead of baggage. Baggage is not a great word, but those wings to say, when I land in Arizona, I know that this will be successful because I've got this team behind me.
That's a great point. Exactly. Our firm has a lot of support and resources. There were some partners here. I think we had 5 when I came to Arizona. We now have 15. So it's one of the largest regions in the country.
Great.
That's great. So Jen, I think you've got an interesting story, if you wouldn't mind sharing about Mac 6. And I was fortunate to work with Mac 6 when I was a partner at B2B CFO and then went to work full-time for them until I started my business in July of this year. Went through a lot of transitions and development and some exciting things. Can you give a little background on that?
Sure. So Mac 6 was started in 2011, and we first were an incubator space. So we helped startup companies get off the ground from the very beginning. And then a couple of years into it, we realized that where we can really make the biggest impact is around the leadership team. Because we realized no matter how great your idea is, if you don't have the right team around it, it's not going to work. So we've made a shift to culture-focused leadership programs because that's where we can make our best work around really helping build the team and having people understand who they are as a person and the others on the team so that they can work more cohesively and become higher performing. So that's been our focus for the last 2 years. And I worked with John first when he was with B2B CFO. He was our CFO with Mac 6. And I have just learned so much from John. And we've joked, he has been my official mentor. he doesn't like the term, but he is, whether he likes it or not. He has given me so much advice. And then when he came in-house, we were so excited to have him as our CFO. And he helped set up such a great direction. And he was such a wonderful CFO from both the actual accounting piece of it, but the visionary piece and the strategic piece that he brought and all of his experience to really help put all of the pieces together was such a great thing for Mac 6. And then we found EOS about 2.5 years ago, John, I think.
Just about, yeah.
And John also became an implementer and worked with us to implement with teams. And he realized that he needed to just do that full time because that's really where his passion is. And he wanted to leave his CFO behind him. And so he went off to do EOS and we miss him greatly, but he was a great partner, and he's still in our space.
Thanks, Jen. It is good to be in the space. And it was a big move for me after, again, 30 plus years in the financial arena and doing CFO work and really rewarding stuff for business owners and working for privately held businesses. And as Tom says, working with privately held businesses as a partner. But when I was exposed to the EOS model, and we implemented it at Max 6, and they're still implementing that. I got trained and started working with a couple clients. I told the team, almost with a tear in my eye, I think, that I need to do this. This is what I have to do. And that's, you know, I transitioned out, brought somebody on board to take my seat. And then July 1st, started doing this on my own. So great support from Max 6.
Yeah, I love it. We've got mentor over mentor over mentor here, which is great.
Absolutely.
But isn't that, you had alluded to networking, how important, Tom, networking is, especially when you landed in a new state. Networking is important, but so is garnering those healthy, really deep relationships with the people that we enjoy being with, and we can be mutually beneficial with each other and our businesses. And it's so critical. And so I love what, and you're certainly not unique in this, that when other business owners host their own shows, the very first few guests that they have are just the people who have helped them get to that place and be able to, what's that saying? You lift as you climb, right?
Yeah. And again, to close the loop in our triangle here, Tom, with one of his clients, I think two of the clients now have approached me and asked if we did, when I was with Max 6, anything with DISC and those types of things. And I said, well, I need to have you talk to Jennifer. So why don't you tell a little bit about that, Jen and Tom?
So it was great getting to meet Tom and work with Tom, because I felt the same thing with all of the B2B CFOs that I've met, that you guys are such great strategic thinkers and such great partners for your businesses. You really are out there in the community and know the resources. So I was very grateful when you reached out to us. So we use a variety of tools, one of which is DISC. So an assessment to help people understand their internal behavioral style so that they can work better on teams. And Tom is a big proponent of DISC, and understanding behavioral styles to work better. And I think you've seen the benefit of when teams do that. So he brought me in and we've done some work with some of his clients, and it's been great to partner with Tom.
Absolutely, Jennifer. Yeah, likewise. It was enjoyable and beneficial to my clients and to me, because I learn every time I go to your classes and your seminars. But I think, you know, business owners are always looking for, what do I need to do in my culture? How can I improve it?
Sure.
And understanding, you know, everyone's behavioral style, and how do we adapt? How do we eliminate or deal with conflict? Mm-hmm. And your curriculum and your classes were very beneficial for both clients. So I thank you for doing that.
You're welcome. Thank you.
So let's talk a little bit, Jennifer. You had mentioned a high-performing team. What does it take? And then this is really a question for all three of you. What does it take to make a high-performing team?
Yeah, that's a big question, right?
Sure is, yeah.
It's a complicated answer, but to simplify it, what we consider a high-performing team is one that has articulated values. So values are the center of everything that we do. So company values. So then people know how to opt in or opt out with your company, and everybody's in alignment. Once you have that, we have the five key components of a high-performing team, which the foundation of any relationship, team or not, is trust. So that really needs to be there. So we do things to work on trust. The next thing, just like Tom talked about, is productive conflict. So a lot of people are afraid of conflict or shy away from conflict. But as long as it's productive, so it's on ideological terms, not on personal attacks, it can be very beneficial for companies, and you need to have it. The next thing is commitment, so that everybody can get on the same page. So if a leader decides something and you don't necessarily agree, you're still able to buy into that decision and move forward because you have the commitment to the company and the big picture, and you understand where the team's going. Then you need to have mutual accountability so that you're able to hold yourself accountable, but that your peers are also able to hold you accountable. So it's not just top down, it's peer to peer. Everybody is being held accountable and knows what they're accountable to, so that you can move forward and move fast to move forward your vision. And the last thing is attention to results. So that's what every business owner wants. That's the bottom line, is you need to have results. So you need to have a clear vision and understand what the results are that you're trying to achieve. And that's where EOS really comes in and helps business owners do that, because you set your vision, and then you have traction to really get to that, which that's the results piece.
And you mentioned accountability. A lot of times, and I go back to my early career when I was a manager and so forth, I was trying to hold people accountable. You know, Tom, you're accountable to get that done. It doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. The people have to feel the accountability, right? Know that they're engaged, committed, and then they accept that accountability and take it on themselves. And it's just an interesting concept that I've kind of come to learn over the last few years here.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. And they have to be empowered too. And right. You can't give them accountability without giving them the authority and empowerment to get the job done.
A voice to engage and have that conflict and be heard in the decision process.
Exactly. So. Right. But there has to be a strong level of trust at the foundation of all of that, because then people don't feel safe to be able to say what needs to be said if they don't have trust. And then it's easy, if you don't have clear accountability, then everyone could just, you know, be pointing the finger at someone else. Having those difficult conversations, you really need to have trust to start. So that's where we always encourage teams. And when we work with teams, is to look at trust and figure out how to really build that relationship among team members.
Jennifer, you mentioned values were an important piece of this. How does a company share their values and or even decide upon them?
Right. That's another big struggle for business owners. What we do is we have a workshop where we really work with business owners and we go through a process to pull that out of them, because everyone has values, whether they're articulated or not. So business owners usually have some ideas and we go through a process to pull it out of them. And then that's great once you have your value statements, but how do you really get them to work for you is the next step. So we create behavior statements. So if you say your value is integrity, what does that look like for a company or an employee coming in? How do they demonstrate that they have that? So we come up with actionable sentences that describe what that is. So employees, when they come in, or any stakeholders in your business, vendors or customers, know that these are the things that they should expect. And if they're an employee, these are the things that they need to do to exhibit the company's behavior or value.
That's great. If I might add, I have a client that, and you know the client, Jennifer, when I first met them, I walked in and met with the CEO, and on his board, he had all the core values. And he said, before I can even attempt to hire you, he says, I have to walk you through my core values that we live and die by in the company. So he went through everyone. He had a statement mm-hmm. for every single line on every core value. And he said, all of our employees, at least every 6 months, get measured. And they actually measure them as part of the performance mm-hmm. as to how they are doing and how they are fitting into the culture of the company. He said, if they're not a good fit, we try to make them a good fit by going through some of the things Jennifer just explained. And if they're not a fit at all, then of course, they're not good for our organization.
But as someone has to exit a team like that, if they were to have to do that, there's a benchmark and there's a conversation to be able to say, this isn't about you personally.
Right.
Here are the values that we stand by, and here's where you're fit and here's where you're not. And unfortunately, there's enough areas that you're not. I mean, it's really clear and concise, is it not?
It is. And actually in EOS, we teach a pretty simple tool we call the People Analyzer. And we use it in quarterly conversations and performance reviews where you list the values across the top and the name down the side, and a simple rating of plus, plus minus, or minus on each of those core values. And when we set those values, we set the bar as far as, okay, out of these five values, you can't have more than one plus minus. They have to be all pluses, and obviously no minuses. So it's kind of subjective, but it's numerical right there, and it gives them something to talk about where it's not just a gut feel or anything like that. So
yeah.
The fact that people are doing that is fantastic, because yeah. that's where it happens.
And from my experience, people have their own personal values. So when their values don't line up to the company, yes. it's almost a relief for them, because it's not saying mm-hmm. one values are better or good or bad than the other. It's just, from my experience, I've seen people part ways of, you're right, this company is in alignment with my personal values. And then they're able to have clarity to go search and find a company that is closer in alignment to their values. So it works good both for the employee and for the business owner and business.
In all the years that you've been in business, all three of you, and I'm even thinking for myself, how many times I've had an opportunity to be with leaders like you just described, Tom. There are very few times that someone has stood really in the power of those values. You know, they've shared their mission and the vision with me, mm-hmm. but there has always seemed to be this piece missing. That's what's underneath that vision and mission. What do you stand to represent? How are you informing your business and your clients and your employees about who you are as an organization? I haven't experienced it very frequently. You've mentioned this recent example. Have you or John seen much of that?
Not really. It's a big commitment, as Jennifer mm-hmm. said earlier. And a CEO or a shareholder, they really have to be committed to those accomplishments of making that a reality, because words are just words.
Right.
If you're not going to walk the talk.
But you could feel, I sense that you could really feel the power behind those words enough to share that with us today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And every I see these owners every week. And when I go in, it's always the culture. I want to improve my people. I want them to feel good working here, but they have to fit into our values.
Fantastic.
And it works.
Yeah,
it really does.
Mm-hmm. So can you tell us a little bit more about B2B CFO? Who do you all work with?
Well, B2B CFO is a unique model. As I mentioned, we have 220 partners and we have 15 here in Arizona. And what we do is we work with privately held business owners. And a lot of business owners come to us because they have issues, irritating issues, or things that are keeping them up at night, as you mentioned earlier. These struggles lead them to reach out to us because we are the experts in the area of CFO and exit strategy services to help them. So with our partners, we really don't have any specific niche or industry. We'll work with almost any business owner as long as the size fits our model.
And can you speak to that size for our listeners so they're aware?
Sure. I mean, we will start with startup companies if they have been funded significantly. But typically, I myself and some of my partners would say maybe they go a little bit lower in this, but I start with companies around $5 million in revenue and up. That seems to be our sweet spot. And in that range, business owners are looking to grow their business, be more successful, and they either have hit the wall, okay, and they don't know how to get to the next level of success. Now, some business owners may be struggling, and they need some help to get them back on the right path. So with our expertise, we're able to go in and help them rather quickly. What we do is we go out and have a discussion with the business owner. It's all confidential. We try to understand their needs and what's struggling with their business. And then from that, we'll develop a game plan strategy for them.
Any industry, I mean, there's a couple different areas that you look at to make sure it's a company that you could work with. One is where's their revenue and how long they've been in business, what their challenges are. But in preparation for our conversation today, I looked at really the areas of expertise that B2B CFO is. It's vast.
It's endless. It's endless. Our partners have so much experience. It's actually mind-blowing when you think about it. 7,000 years of experience. You know, our partners have either been CFOs, they've been COOs, some of them are attorneys, some are CPAs, they have master's degrees, they ran companies, they sold companies. You know, Exit Strategies is one of our biggest offerings, and we can help companies either acquire or sell their businesses, and we're the experts in that area.
Interestingly enough, I had a comment with a contact yesterday that had been talking to someone else in their industry, wanting to do business with them, and the conversation came around to, would you be interested in buying my business? And apparently asked my contact, why don't you give me a number and let's see if we can have a conversation, and was reluctant to do anything other than that. And I said, no, wait a minute. That's not a good idea. How would you respond to that?
Well, John, you know better than anyone, as well as I do, for sure, that's not the way you would want to respond, entertaining the sale of your business or even, well, maybe buying one.
Acquiring
you'd like
it,
to
yeah.
get one. You know, you need to get advice and you need to get help when you're looking to either buy or sell your company. You can do it on your own. You can take the first offer you get, but you don't know if the best offer you get is the right offer. You don't know if you're prepared and ready to sell your business. And that's one of the things we do at B2B CFO. We'll work with business owners, and the first question we ask, you know, what's the end game? Where do you want to go with this business?
Sure.
And if it's to sell the business, then we will work with them over a period of time to prepare that business so that it's saleable at the right price that they're looking for.
I'm curious about the right time to start asking that question as a business entity. I'm kind of thinking about a lot of the people that you work with at Max6, where it's an incubator, it's startup, it's a lot of groups getting ready to grow and hit that catapult to that next level. At what point, Tom, should business leaders be considering their exit strategy?
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they should be thinking about it now, even if they're not thinking about selling today.
Even if it's years away.
Because things happen in your life. You can become ill. You cannot perhaps not run the company, and you might be the, you know, the tribal knowledge person in the company. So now your company is left with, you know, perhaps little value because there's no one to run it. So you need to prepare for those type of events. You also need to prepare for if you're a baby boomer, and we have a lot of clients that are coming out now that are baby boomers. They missed the last sell round and they're saying, well, I'm, you know, 65 pushing 70 and I think I want to retire. The time is now. Don't wait, because if they wait, you know, these things run in cycles. Right now is a great time to sell your business in the next 3 to 5 years, but in the next 7 to 8 years, the cycle may not be good, where prices and the multiples on selling your business on earnings is not as good. So you have to start looking now and plan your future.
It's interestingly enough, when we talk in our EOS implementer forums, EOS is one of those systems, a management system that with a company particularly that has an owner that has so much tribal knowledge, as you call it, knowledge about the business, that needs to create a management team, processes, systems in place so that when they leave the business, exit the business, that it can exist without him. And that's one thing that we tout as far as our piece of that exit process is getting your management processes in place so that business can run without you.
One thing that EOS has helped us with is transition. So it's not an exit, but Scott McIntosh, the co-founder of Maxix, is exiting out of the business. He's wanting to actually be in retirement. We'll see if that really happens, but he'll find something else to do. But his son is taking over the business, and EOS has really helped put us in a great place where Scott's feeling comfortable exiting. Everyone knows what's going on. A lot of things are documented. So the tribal knowledge has been mitigated a bit. And Scott's able to feel comfortable and sleep at night when he exits. And Kyle is in a great spot to take it, what Scott and Kyle have built and run. So EOS has been really helpful with that.
One thing I might add is preparing your business for sale has other benefits, even if you're not wanting to sell now. It actually makes you run your business and put the processes in place that John just mentioned. It makes you run better as a company because you've got goals and you have an end in sight and you know where the goal line is. Without that, without clear cut vision and strategy, and that's where John comes in a lot in his program, you're just kind of running from day to day. Okay. Yeah. So even if you're not thinking of selling today, looking at preparing to sell your business is really going to make you a better company overall. So it makes a lot of sense.
Makes complete sense. I had another guest on a show not too long ago, and my husband just recently opened an automotive shop. You know, when we opened it, and Business Radio X is a new business for me as well, you know, we just kind of stepped into, all right, well, here's what we do now, right? and so I similarly, I had asked that question and around, you know, how soon is it to start thinking about what is the plan when? What is the plan when we're older and we want to retire? What if our child, and the example you just gave with Maxix, what if we want to leave this legacy in this business to one of our children? What would that look like? What if we wanted to sell? And I never realized, as a fairly new business owner and my husband as well, how critical it is to start thinking with the end in mind.
Or what happens if that child that you thought would love to take over the business doesn't want to, isn't ready, is already off doing something else, then you have to take another path.
Right.
Yeah. That's exactly right. And that happens often,
I'm sure.
I bet it does. Tom, tell us about the educational series that you guys offer, the Business Sales Solution.
Yes. Right? Yes. I'm very excited about that. About a year ago, our company took a strategic direction, and it was to offer to business owners and to other professionals that are interested the Business Sales Solution program. And this is an education series which is completely complimentary to the community business owners to come in and get educated on how to sell their business, how to prepare it. There's a series of these seminars. They're about 90 minutes long, and our partners attend, and we're there to answer any questions that business owners have. There is no other program like this in the country. We're the only firm that is doing this, to my knowledge. And it's going to be very successful already. We have great accolades and a lot of people attending these seminars.
And complimentary.
Complimentary, totally. Our goal is to teach the business owner, and you might say why, and it's because we feel they have a right to know. They have a right to know. And they shouldn't have to hire a lot of advisors just to get educated on the subject.
Yeah, because one thing is education. Another thing is to implement, right? So yeah, I love that model. Hey, let us tell you all the things that you ought to be considering. Let's help you educate. And I would assume that there's a lot of people then afterwards, Tom, are looking at using B2B CFOs as a partner and somebody help them get through some of the things that they hadn't otherwise planned for.
Yes, we do. We do. Often we get business owners after the seminar that come up to us and we do offer them a free discovery complimentary analysis, which is another thing we offer in our education series. We'll go in and we'll sit with the business owner. We'll go through their financial systems, their computer systems. We'll go through their management team and we'll come back with a confidential game plan strategy and tell them all about our findings. And, you know, they'll come to us and they'll say, this is our current situation, but we want to be here. This is our desired. And we'll go through that with them and identify it together. And this is a value. It takes us about 10 to 12 hours. It's totally free.
Wow.
And it's part of our education for business owners. Whether we get engaged or not, that's the way we've add value to the community.
I'm finding more and more businesses are functioning like that. When John and I talked about John owning his own show here at the studio, that's one of the things that I love so much about Phoenix Business Radio and our Business Radio X model overall countrywide. Is that the guest experience is always a complimentary experience. We want you to have that rich content. We want to give you an opportunity to elevate and increase your visibility, accelerate those relationships. And if you never step through our door again through the studio, I'm okay with it because I feel good about the gift that I've offered you in your business. And then there will be right. some like John who will choose to stay and do business with us further. But I'm finding, and I'm thinking about conscious capitalism as I'm, and it's just a small piece of that. But I love that more and more businesses are thinking, how can we add value first? How can we educate? How can we help people see the value in who we are? And if they never were to do business with us, it's okay because right. they've gained something to be in relationship with us. And they've had a chance to get to know us. And if we are, you know, have that common thread, then of course we'll do business together. Fantastic. I love to hear that.
Yeah. So Maxix is very much the same way. One of our values is always learning, always teaching, and we always want to give first. So part of we subscribe to conscious capitalism and as an idea. But one thing that we offer is we have monthly lunch and learn sessions on culture focused leadership program topics. So business leaders or employees of organizations can attend our lunches once a month. We put it on. We provide you with tangible tools that you leave with that you can implement. We provide lunch and it's $35 per session. But it's our way of giving back to the community to really help provide resources because we want to educate business owners. Because just like Tom said, we want people to be able to have the knowledge and then figure out what they want to do with it from there.
Love it. And again, back to the comment around how important it is to network. Who knows when you land at some of these educational experiences through B2B CFO or Maxix or whoever it is, you never know who you end up sitting next to. Could be, you know, your next big client or the next VP of operations or something like that.
I just learned of that series when I looked at the website the other day, Tom. So that's fairly new, I think. So.
That is new. We launched that at the end of 2017. It took some time to do. Mr. Mills worked on that diligently, and it really came out wonderful. We're very proud of that product and offering.
That's terrific. Maybe I'll be able to sit in on a couple of those.
I'd love them too.
I think I'll need to be there too.
you're all welcome.
Clearly. Absolutely. So... Awesome. I know in your bio, Tom, you mentioned that you're a business coach. Do you find, I mean, how much of that is involved in what you're doing today?
Well, more than I thought it would be when I started B2B CFO. Often business owners, they need some help in goal setting and finding some vision and strategy as to where they want to go. So I'll sit down with them and have a confidential conversation as to, you know, what are their goals? What are their needs? You know, a lot of it is to try to reduce a lot of stress in their lives. Okay. And how do we do that? How can we work together? How can we work with you and your organization and delegate some of the things that are pain points for you? So I work diligently with several clients and it becomes a trusted relationship. Like Jennifer said, if it's not trusted, they will not open up and share with you at all. And I have wonderful clients. They just open up and they'll come to me and ask me, Tom, what do you think? I need some advice on this. And it has nothing to do with CFO work or selling their business. So I really enjoy doing that work. I also coach for my partners, and that's very rewarding. As John mentioned, he was my coachee.
Yeah.
So it's becoming more and more, I see, that it's needed in business.
Very much needed, especially because so much of, I think, our life overall for business owners and entrepreneurs, our life is our business, and there isn't a lot of separation. So if we're not handling a situation as confidently as we'd like to, it's great to go to a mentor and a guide and just say, hey, you know, in confidence, can I share this with you? And what's your take on it? And there really is important to have those people in your life that you can confide in and have know that you're going to get quality guidance and leadership in that. Yeah, absolutely.
One thing I appreciate having is people like Tom and Jennifer that when I hear of a situation that their services and their expertise could be helpful for, I'm the first one out of the box with, hey, let me put you in touch with Tom or with Jennifer because they have something that I think you'd be interested in. So having those relationships is invaluable for me, and knowing all those things too.
So have you had Tom to help businesses who have been failing and teetering? We've talked about exit strategy. We've talked about startup. What about that organization that is really struggling? Have you had those experiences well in all your years?
Oh, yes. And in the last 3.5 decades, I've come across a lot of that. Sometimes business owner will, you know, get themselves in trouble by making a judgment call that didn't go the right way. They may end up with some troubles with their bank and their line of credit. They'll call, you know, a B2B CFO person and like myself, and we'll sit down and we'll work through a strategy to get them back on track. Now, sometimes that could be very painful for the business owner. You know, there's things that they may not be able to do that they've been doing in the past, but if they follow the advice, most of the time we can get them back on track, unless they're already, you know, to a point where they've already failed and they're falling into bankruptcy. And then that's a different situation. You know, we can help with them also in bankruptcy, if they fall into bankruptcy, to help them come out of bankruptcy with a viable plan.
So that's a big piece of what B2B CFO has to offer as well, then, just the gamut, right? From every aspect of business really is giving that guidance to help them move through those levels and
absolutely
successfully.
I'll start with companies sometimes that are 20 million in revenues and they want to get to 40 million in revenues. And they say, well, how do I scale my business? Well, we need to put a plan together for that. Not every company is not scalable to that level, or without major changes, they may not be scalable. So we'll sit down together. And first thing is finding out what is the business owner's needs and where do they want to go with their business, and then developing a plan. Whether they're failing and we need to get them successful again, or if they're already successful and they want to become more successful. So we'll set that strategy game plan in place and work with them and implement it for them.
Makes me think of a scenario, and I don't know a business in particular that I'm thinking this, but I would imagine, correct me if I'm wrong, that there's times that you sit down with a CEO and a founder of a company, and they want to make that jump, let's say 20,000 or 40,000, 200,000 or 400,000, even that, whatever the gamut is. If they're not equipped with the skill set, but they have the vision, does it often include then bringing in team members and maybe having this person step aside, even though it's their company, their baby? How often does that happen?
Oh, that's a great question. Great question. That happens, I'd say 50% of the time, where you have
that
a CEO that may have already reached his level, you know, the Peter Principal situation, and they either recognize it and they say, you know, I need help because I don't know where to go from here, or they don't have the management team underneath them to get them to the next level. And they'll start asking questions. Do I have the right horses in the race? And sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. And we'll have to make changes. Sometimes the CEO has to step aside for the benefit of the company and for themselves so that we can grow the company. We'll have to bring a person in. So those are difficult conversations sometimes, but usually through the coaching discussion, we can get through those if they really want to grow the company and be more successful.
That was a lot of, I have so many thoughts going through my head on that, because that is a difficult conversation. And at MX6, we've had to have that conversation a couple times with companies. But one of the benefits of using the assessment that we do is it gives people a tangible result to see maybe why they aren't the right fit, but also to build their team. So it will show you a team wheel. There's different behavioral styles, and the best well-balanced team would have people in all of the styles. So when we work with a leader who says, you know, I'm not sure I have a gap on my team, but they can't quite put their finger on it, we go to that and we look and see, and then we help them create the role that they're needing and the type of person that needs to fit that role so that we can create these well-balanced teams. But to Tom's point, when it's the CEO that needs to step aside, that is a very difficult conversation, but a very needed. And the CEOs that are able to see that and move past, we've seen those companies be very successful.
And the DISC assessments and other assessments can be really helpful in even on those one-on-one situations, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Enlightening to the CEO or position that you're talking to, coaching.
Right.
So each of you get to put yourselves temporarily, really, into the lives of these businesses mm-hmm. and become part of their team. In your case, how long, and I know you've been with MaxSix for how long, Jennifer?
4.5 years.
4.5 years. So in those 4.5 years, have you found that you are an integral part of teams long-term then?
Yeah. So a couple things. In our co-working space, which is where our office is as well, I feel like I'm part of these teams because I see them every day and they work with us. But when we're doing our culture-focused leadership programs, our goal is to teach and empower the leaders so that we're not embedded with them for long periods of time. We might work with people for multiple years, but our goal is to make sure that we're teaching the tools that they can take them and teach their employees and run with it. So we're really trying to facilitate and coach, but not necessarily embed ourselves in the organization.
But on a personal level, since you're still in the same space, yes. How fun is that to see and watch them grow?
It's so fun yeah. to see all the different companies and get to see the intricacies of different industries. And a lot of times I say, your business is really cool. I would never want your job, but I just really admire your company and to get to learn all the different industries. Just right here in our local area, there's so many diverse companies that it's really fun to see.
Yeah, absolutely. And John, how about for you? Do you, as an EOS implementer, I think we talked a little bit about this on your segment. We really highlighted your business primarily, but what is your longevity with a company with the EOS process and model?
Yeah, that's a good question. We start with ask for a mental commitment, not any contractual or anything, really to stay with us for about 2 years, 24 months. That gets us about 10 to 12 sessions where we're teaching the tools, helping them make sure that they're implementing them, that they really have the processes down and working with their team and developing the team health. What we find, though, is after 2 years, we try and encourage them, hey, are you ready to graduate? Again, we don't try and embed ourselves. We try and teach and facilitate. They're always a client. I'm there for whether they want me to facilitate one of their quarterlies coming up or maybe just their annual two-day planning session. Or if they've had some turnover or some major event where they just need an outside objective observer, facilitator, I'm there for the long haul as long, but really not charging for anything. I just charge on a per session fee and do that one session at a time. So,
great. Tom, how about for you with the way you guys work with organizations?
Well, we work as a trusted advisor, and our goal is to be a long-term trusted advisor. There are times when we take on project work, but that typically is not what we do. We don't become officers or employees of the company. Obviously, we're business consultants, but we come very close to being part of the management team. Myself, I get very involved. I'm very passionate about what I do. And sometimes I'll be with a business owner a couple hours a week to several hours a week. But they're never out of my mind, okay? My clients are my life. I have a passion to make them successful. And when they're successful, there's nothing better in the world to have a business owner say thank you and give you a big hug, right? You know you've done something. It's self-gratification. So that's the way I work and most of my partners work with their clients.
It's interesting. I would imagine that as businesses in any industry look at their bottom line, and the availability and skill set, if you were to hire, like all the wealth of knowledge just that mm-hmm. the four of us have sitting in here, any company would be of benefit to work with us. And yet, could any one company, regardless of how big they are, afford that service? So you become an arm and an extension of who they are. Mm-hmm. And yet feel like I can really sense it from each of you. You feel just as proud and just as excited and just committed to whatever these businesses' goals are as if you were there as a full-time employee. And yet you get to be advisory, you get to be an educator, you get to be a systems implementer, you get to support them, let them do the work, and then be able to continue to guide and serve them. Fantastic. It's fascinating to me how many different industries each of you can serve. It's not, you know, just a lot of times we have guests that come on the show and they're a B2B company, but they stick with just one or two industries. At Mac6, Jennifer, what are some of the, if you'd be willing to share, some of the different companies that utilize that space?
Yeah, so we have many different companies. We have 13 companies working out of our co-working space, everything from a student travel company. We have an IT company. Let's see, what else do we have, John? We have
marketing and branding.
A marketing and branding company.
Real estate.
A multifamily real estate development company. And then over in our co-manufacturing space, we have companies that similar to our co-working model, but they actually make things, but they're not ready for their own manufacturing space. So they're smaller companies. So we have companies that are taking wine bottles, turning them into glasses. We have a candle company. We have a silicon chip wafer company with a clean room doing all sorts of fancy things in there.
That sometimes when they talk about it is way over our heads.
Yes.
There's some really smart people over there.
Yeah, there are. So it's a wide range. And we always say we're industry agnostic with our spaces. So it doesn't matter what industry you're in. And also with our program side, I mean, everyone that's in business deals with people. And that's really what we're focused on and how to communicate better and connect better with others. And so it spans all industry.
Fascinating. I have never asked this question on air before, but for some reason today I'm compelled to ask, and I hope I won't catch it.
I'm a little scared.
How much do you weigh? No, just kidding. I would love to know when you were younger, you know, maybe even grade school, middle school, who did you dream of becoming business-wise or career-wise? And how close is that to where you landed today?
Oh, well, depends on how young that is. If it was 8 years old, it was Mickey Mantle.
Excellent. How'd you do, Tom? Did you?
I never became that professional baseball player.
But did you play baseball growing up?
I did well, but not good enough to make it to the big leagues.
And what about Mickey Mantle was inspiring to you?
Well, he was such a leader to his team and an inspiration. And, you know, he just had a great example. And following people like that, I think, had a great impact on my life. I mean, looking up to, you know, visionaries and people that do well and setting the example. And, you know, I we have one right here in our firm, B2B CFO. Mr. Mills is such a visionary, and I've learned so much from him just by watching and listening to him. So as a child, again, it depends on the age, baseball players. But as I got older, it was business leaders. Okay, that I looked to in college and then after that, and try to learn what made them successful.
And now you're the executive advisor for those very people.
Well,
love it.
Yeah.
Cool. How about you, Jennifer?
Oh man, it's been a windy road.
For me as well.
Yeah. I've had many ambitions, and it does depend on the age, but the core of it has always been I've wanted to help people. And also to understand why we do what we do. And I wasn't quite sure how that looked in a professional career, but it's always been something I'm interested in. And then I've also had this entrepreneurial spirit. I mean, I've started businesses when I was 6 years old, if you count like lemonade stands.
We do count that.
And making dolls and selling them and whatnot. So I've wanted to always pair those two things. And I think I'm living that dream because I'm constantly working with others and really tapping into human behavior and helping people who just don't understand each other to get some understanding to help people achieve their vision is so gratifying for me. And then Mac6, we're a startup essentially. I mean, we've been in business for 5 years and Scott is the ultimate entrepreneur, I think. And so I have a great mentor and it feels there's six of us. So I feel very much like it's a little business or a big business for me too. So it satisfies my entrepreneurial niche. So I think it's in alignment. It was a windy road to get here, but I think I'm living the dream.
John, how about you?
Okay, here goes. It's once a long upon a and time. Winding road. I think when I was growing up, I never thought I'd be a business leader in business. I was kind of a science geek and math and sciences. So I've always thought I was going to go do something in the sciences or research or something. Started at college, really. I was playing in a band. I was in band and did some things like that. Actually took a semester off of school to see if the band could make it. Mm-hmm. And didn't. I quickly got back to school and finished my degree. But in the process, I went to work using my math background in an accounting department. And that just kind of turned me on to the accounting. And that kind of grew into managing and developing a lot of skills that I currently have from the financial side. But never really thought I'd be where I am now. There's been so many twists and turns and the latest one being at Mac6 when I discovered this passion for EOS and as an ultimate way to help people. And I think that's what's been latent and not necessarily buried, but really have an opportunity to do that now. So that's where I'm at now.
When you work with businesses, do you find that the executive leaders and the business owners also kind of had that stumbling upon some of the success within their business or a new product? I mean, it's kind of funny how each of you shared, you know, where you've been in what you who you thought you'd be today and how it's been this winded road. But as each of you have shared, there's been this seed that's been planted. Do you find in working with business leaders that it's the same for them? Like, oh, wow, I never thought I'd land here, but here we are.
I've asked the question a couple of times, you know, how did you get here? That's one of our questions. When we go to our confidential interview with a business owner is, you know, how did you get into this business? And I can tell you there are some stories, you know, I didn't think I'd be here. You know, this is where I started. And every story and every business owner is so unique. They're all different. And that's what makes, you know, my job so wonderful is that we get to share that and we get to, you know, live through that, if you will. But yeah, we get that a lot. I don't know about you, John. Do you see that a lot in your...
There's always a story when we sit down and do our 90-minute meeting, kind of sharing what I'm about and listening to where they came from. We ask for a brief history of the business. Good luck getting it brief, because everybody wants to talk about that history and how they started and so forth. And I basically let them talk because I'm just really intrigued by that also. So yeah, they like sharing their beginnings and where they've been, and that sets the stage for where they are and how we can help. So
yeah, I had a great story real quick. I worked for a gentleman and never had a high school education and on the street at 10 years old and struggled all his life and worked for him for about 5 years. And the man now is a billionaire. He's doing Broadway shows, but he shared with me, he says, I don't know what I ever did to deserve this. And he worked very hard and he was a smart man. And, you know, his story was, I can't believe that I am where I am today. And when you see that, it tells me anybody can do it. All they have to do is put their will and mind to it.
And the work.
You got to put the work behind it.
Right? Yeah. The will, the mind, get the right guidance and show up.
That's a great story, Tom. Thanks for sharing that one.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
The thing I love about working with small business owners is there's real passion behind it, right? They're fulfilling their higher purpose. And so they're really driven. And you can tell that they might not have known that they're going to end up there, but it's really been something, like you said, John, latent in them. That then the time has been right and they've taken that leap. And I admire them so much for taking that leap to become a business owner. That takes a lot of bravery and hard work to do it. But it's because they are truly passionate about their business or their service.
Is there anything that any of you would like to share as we wrap up the show today that you haven't had a chance to share with our listeners? You all are always welcome back. I know, our time goes very quickly. It's a lot like those winding stories of our lives that we just highlighted, that we never know where a conversation on Business Radio X will take us, but it's always the perfect conversation. But anything else that you, either of you had thought you'd hoped to share with our listeners?
The only thing I would add is that if there are any business owners that are struggling and for whatever reason they feel embarrassed or shameful about reaching out for help, they should consider, you know, trying to overcome that fear. And whether it's a B2B CFO or an EOS or a Mac 6, reach out to someone and get some advice, mm-hmm. because there's so much help out there and so much expertise that the people are willing to give. So that I'd leave
it's great sage advice. And outside of your sphere of influence, right? I think is what I hear you saying, that, you know, we can go to our spouse or we can go to maybe even a client or a trusted friend and share some of that fear, that frustration. But going to people like yourselves who really lived it for years and have structures and systems in place and the guidance really to offer, there's nothing lost in a conversation. Each one of you have shared that with your respective businesses. It's really a complimentary conversation to get mm-hmm. things going if it feels like it's a good fit. And you would never know unless you move past that fear, that doubt. So thank you for sharing that little wisdom. That's fantastic.
And really, we're not, none of us three and many of the partners at B2B and others, we're not judgmental. We mm-hmm. genuinely want to help mm-hmm. and be there for them and help them however we can. So
good. One last thing I would share that we touched on a bit, but values and culture seem overwhelming or abstract for many business owners. And so as we're starting 2018, I would strongly recommend, if you haven't articulated values, to spend some time doing it, because you will really see the impact in your business and your employees and everyone that you work with, all the way to the bottom line. Because when people understand how to interact with your business or understand what you value, you can get to your vision that much faster. So there are many tools and resources that you can use to articulate your values. I am happy to have a conversation with anyone who's interested to walk them through that process, because it's really important work.
So Tom and Jen, how best can our listeners get in touch with you after the show here? What's the best way?
Well, they can reach me through our website, www.b2bcfo, or www.tomazzarelli@cfo.com. They can reach me at 480-993-4720. And if anyone interested would send me an email or reach out to our website, I'll have a complimentary exit strategy handbook for them.
Nice.
Wonderful.
Thanks for that.
Nice. Yeah.
How about you, Jen?
So people can reach out to me on our website at www.mac6.com, or they can email me at jennifer.burwell, B as in boy, U-R-W-E-L-L, at mac6.com.
Terrific. So I want to thank Jennifer and Tom for sharing their stories and services with us on Business Solutions Radio. They clearly demonstrated that there is help. And that's it for today. Until next time, I'm John Deiter. Thanks for listening.